We're going to have a theme for the year that comes from Titus chapter 2, the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And as we bring the teachings to you every month, they're going to be centered around the godly qualities that, you know, older women should be possessing and should be then teaching and training the younger women to then be able to have within their own lives. And each month, when you come, one quality, one godly quality, one virtue will be taught each month as we work our way through Ephesians 2, 3 through 5. So in front of you, you have part of the verse, but I'm going to read the entire portion, which I think is on your handout there. So let's read Titus 2, 3 through 5. It says, "Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." So on the tables in front of you, you see your little easel there, and part of the verse is on there. Part of the scriptures are on there. That's the portion that we're going to be looking at today. And each month when you come to Motherhood Connection, so you're going to take your easels home today, and when you come next month, you're going to have a new verse card, and it's going to have the next portion of the verse on there, the portion of the verse that we're going to be teaching on next month. And then each month as you come, we will be building upon the scriptures throughout the year. So next month it'll have that portion plus the next part, and then we will build upon it throughout the months until May. And my goal for you is that you will take this home, put this, I encourage you to put it in your kitchen. Do you know why I say your kitchen? Because we spend most of our time in the kitchen, right? We're cooking, we're cleaning, there's always something we're doing in the kitchen. So I want you to put it on your counter, your windowsill, your table, wherever you're going to see it. And I want you to have it in front of you because I want it to be an encouragement to you, a reminder. I want you to look at it and think about what you were taught in Motherhood Connection that month before. And I want it to be something that you can mull over so that as we do move through the months, and like next month it's going to be loving your husbands. That's all that's going to be added to that portion of the scripture. So it's going to be easy to add on and look at that throughout the months. And so my goal for you by May is that hopefully you'll have this portion of scripture memorized in your own minds by then. So you may have noticed, if you've heard some of my teachings in the past, I like to give tangible tools that you can use and help you focus on Christ and help give you something practical that you can use or something that you can think on. And, you know, it involves scripture, so this is one of those things. You know, I have found over the years that having scripture posted so I can see it and read it and ponder on it helps me with my thoughts. It helps me renew my mind. And it helps me, you know, once I have my thoughts on the Word of God, it helps me get my thoughts in order, my actions, the way that I think, the way that I act in life. And I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It's a comfort to me. It's a challenge and encouragement to me. And it brings me peace in my life. And, you know, I have challenged myself over the years to memorize Scripture. And I was finding that as I was memorizing verses, I wanted to know the context of those verses that I was memorizing. So then I thought, you know, I've heard people who memorize like books of the Bible, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't think I could handle a book, but I'm going to try a chapter. So I started memorizing some chapters of the Bible, and I started with Psalm 1. And if any of you know Psalm 1, it's not a daunting task. And I knew some of it already. I knew some of it, and I thought, I can handle Psalm 1. So I memorized Psalm 1. And then after I memorized that, I wanted to memorize Titus chapter 2. And the reason was because me as a woman and growing into an older woman, I wanted to know what God was calling me to be. And so I memorized Titus 2. Now, please don't ask me to recite it, because I even thought, oh, they're going to say, Mary, recite the whole chapter, but I'll be all nervous and I'll mess it up. I know I will. So I can, you know, quote parts of it right now. We're going to do that this morning. But if he asked me to do the whole chapter, I know I'll screw it up. But I know myself, and I know that if I don't, you know, review it and go over it, that I lose it. And so to me, scripture is so important in my life. It has helped me to grow into an older godly woman. And that is the foundation for me of life change. And so as I memorized Titus 2, and I saw the importance that it had in my life and the mandate that it gives to women in general, whether you're married or single or a mother or not, Titus 2 is applicable. And so as I memorized that, then I saw that Nancy Lee DeMoss came out, or her name is DeMoss Walgamuth now because she's married, but she came out with a book that's called Adorned. And actually, Josie was saying they're going to actually revive our hearts, which is her ministry has a conference based on Titus 2. And so when I saw this book come out, because it drew my attention because of what I memorized, I read the book. And then I read another book by Caroline Mahaney. If you guys know C.J. Mahaney, this is his wife. And she wrote this book called Feminine Appeal, Seven Virtues of a Godly Wife and Mother. And those two books are excellent books. I would highly recommend them. And they are both based off of Titus 2. And today, we're going to give one of these away. And we're hoping every month we'll give one away to one of the ladies here. So I believe no matter where you are in life, what season you are in, that Titus 2 is applicable to you. So today, we are focusing on Titus 2, verses 3 through 4a, which says, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the younger women. In the context of this verse, the older women are referred to women who have faithfully raised their families, their children. They have honored their husbands in their marriages, and they have learned how to live on God's truth. They're in an older season of life, and older women have lived a season or two of life ahead of you guys. You know, through their own life experiences and through their walk with the Lord, they have intentionally developed lives that are around godly thinking and godly principles. Older Titus 2 women, as sometimes they're called, do not become spiritually mature without striving for godliness and growing in their faith. All of us have hopes and dreams and expectations when we get married. We want to have, you know, children. We plan out our futures, and you know, sometimes things go the way that we had dreamed they would go, and sometimes they take a turn. We all know that life can be hard, and things don't always go the way that we thought they would or the way that we thought they should. And you know, we learn so much through life experiences. We learn so much, both the good ones and the bad ones. And you know, God works in us, and he wants to work through us to become more like him. And as an older woman, we have experienced a lot of those things. And, you know, age alone and life experience alone does not necessarily give an older woman godly wisdom or equip her to be godly, because there's an aspect of her life that's missing, and that is the spiritual aspect. Just because a woman's older and raised her children doesn't mean she's gained wisdom or qualified to train the younger women in godly, righteous living. She has the experience of what she has lived through, but God needs to be a major part of her life. You know, people handle the unexpected circumstances in life differently. Some struggle through just doing what feels right, right? We just try to figure out how to get through. Maybe we take the advice of other people. Well, followers of Jesus Christ handle unexpected things that happen based on their knowledge of who they know God is. They are trained by biblical truth that come from his word. Christ is the sure foundation that our faith rests upon. That is where godly wisdom comes from. This is what we as women need to live out every day. and the older godly woman models and lives out God's truth. She has a vision for leaving a godly legacy, both in her own family and through the impact that she can have on other people's lives. Women who are intentional in developing their thinking on truth and striving to live it out will be equipped to disciple that next generation. So all of us, whether younger or older in this room, should be striving toward the godly qualities that are taught in Titus 2. So why should we be striving for these things? Well, verse 5 says, at the end of verse 5, or verse 5 says, that the word of God may not be reviled. We do not want to discredit or dishonor God's word, do we? No, no. And you know, I will say, going back to me memorizing scripture and memorizing a chapter like that, it slows me down. Like, I had to think about, what does reviled mean? Like, there's words that you read them, and then you gotta really study, like, I want to understand this. And reviled, that's discrediting or dishonoring. We do not want to dishonor the Lord in any way that we live, do we? I think everybody here who is a believer would say, of course not, I love the Lord. But yet we do that when we don't even realize it by how we live sometimes. So God wants his children to walk in a way that brings them glory and honor. He wants each generation to know him and know how they should live. We need to be living example of God's work and make God attractive to other people. God wants us to show the world that we are different and that his ways work. God wants us to live in obedience to him and his word. Our ambition as a follower of Jesus Christ is to joyfully obey and do what brings God glory. You know, when you go on to read the second chapter of Titus in verse 11 and 12, this is what it says, and I think I have it on your handout there. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You see, God's grace, his compassion, came through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Our salvation and our relationship with Christ is what sets us apart from the world. Because we have been given such a great gift in salvation, we are now able to live a new life where the power of sin has been broken. We are able to live in a way that turns away from our godless, selfish way of living and the desires that we're tempted to be drawn to, and begin to live a life that is God-honoring and godly. Our lifestyle and our desires begin to change when we become a Christian because of the beauty that we have in the gospel. And then verse 13, which is the verse after that, it says, who gave himself, and it talks about Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness, all ungodly things, lady. He delivered us from that. And to purify, to make godly, that's what purify, to make godly, for himself a people, for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. This verse tells us that Jesus gave himself for us on the cross and paid the price necessary to free us from our sins, from the bondage that we were under our sins. He purified us and made us clean. But if you look closely there, it says he purified us for himself. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for Christ. We belong to him because we were bought with such a great price. We are to glorify him with our lives. And the end of the verse says that we should be zealous for good works. Zealous means burning with zeal and passion. We should have a zeal and a passion for what God has called us to be as women. And some of those things that we should be zealous and passionate for are listed up in the earlier verses of all that whole list of loving our husbands, our children, the whole list that's listed there. We should have a zeal and a passion for those things in our lives. And you know, those good works that are listed in verses 3 through 5, they relate to God, our husbands, our families, our children. I want to encourage you and challenge you this next month, and I know you're busy moms, and I know that your time is very precious and very limited, but I would encourage you to read the book of Titus. It's only 3 chapters long, so it's not going to take you very long. And it's a small book, and it outlines how those who follow Christ should live. The first chapter outlines godly conduct for leaders, for church leaders. Chapter 2 outlines the godly conduct for the different genders and ages and seasons of life that people are in. And chapter 3 gives instructions to believers on how they need to live in this world. So I encourage you and I challenge you, read the book of Titus. It will help you, it will equip you, and as we go through this year, going through Titus chapter 2, it will give you a better grasp, I would say. So if we look at verse 3, there's principles there that older women should possess in order to be able to teach and train the younger women. And I believe that these are also important for you younger women, because this is what we should all be striving towards. You cannot become a wiser, older, godly woman if you do not know what you're striving to become. These principles need to be part of your character, and whatever age you are, we need to become growing more and more Christ-like. And you know, these things that are listed in the scriptures that we're going to be looking at over the year, these are character qualities. They're not something, they're not a talent that somebody might have, or an ability or a gift, or something that just comes with someone's personality. These are godly qualities that can be learned and applied and become part of our character. So it says, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. So reverent in behavior. So what does reverent mean? Okay, well, the original Greek, it's a compound word, and it means sacred and holy together. So think of it as holy behavior. As we mature in our faith, we should begin to reflect the character of God in our own character. And this should be something that others start to see in us. We should live every day centered around God, which flows from a personal relationship that we have with Him. It's an outflow of obedient living. Remember, we read that the Lord saved us for Himself. We are not our own. It should be an outflow of obedient living because we live for Him. We are being obedient to our Lord. Our life should revolve around the things that matter to God. He is the priority of our life. And you know, this doesn't magically happen as you get older. It's a discipline. It's something that you have to be purposeful of. You know, I don't know about you, but I've seen older women who have grown into sweet, joyful, kind, loving women. But then I've met women, older women, who have grown into miserable, cranky, angry ladies. And I will tell you that I look at that and I think, I want to grow into a woman who is joyful, a woman who people want to be around, and I want my joy to come from the Lord. And we need to be intentional on what we're growing and striving into becoming. We have to be intentional in how we act and in what we think on. Intentional regarding your relationship with God. Are you growing spiritually? A woman must consistently be studying the Word of God. Are you aware of God throughout your days? Do you even think about God in the middle of your day? Or is He maybe you're having time with the Lord, and I've had my time with the Lord, and then you move on with your day? God needs to be in your day all day long. He becomes part of your thought process. You know, a woman needs to evaluate her thoughts, her actions, and her circumstances against biblical truth. Is God the first priority in your life? the most important thing that you can do for your family is to have your relationship with God first in your life. A mature woman is completely in love with her Lord. He has the first place in her heart. As you allow your life to become more oriented around God, your character will begin to reflect His character. Your thinking and actions will begin to be reverent. They will begin to be holy, set apart for Him. You will grow in spiritual maturity. Romans 12:1 says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship." So the next part of the verse says that older women should not be slanderers. Now, when I was working on this, and I looked at how it says women should be reverent in behavior, then it gives there's two negatives there. They should not be slanderers, and they should not be slaves to much wine. So slanderers and slaves to much wine, those are irreverent behavior. Those are things that would go against what the Lord has commanded for us as women. So these are things that we need to make sure that we can put off in our lives. They're not things that should become who we are. So we should not be slanderers. Another translation of this verse says that women should not be malicious gossips. Okay? Malicious gossips translates to diabolos, and that means a false accuser. It's used 34 times in the New Testament as a title for Satan. And, you know, Jesus refers to Satan as the father of lies. You know, we as women, we seem to have a bent towards gossip. We love to talk, and before you know it, we end up talking about somebody else. Why do we have such a bent towards this? Well, I think it could be narrowed down probably to three main things. It could be pride. We want to make ourselves feel better or look better. It could be envy. Maybe we're jealous. It could be that we have a harsh, judgmental and critical spirit. You know, slander is making a false statement that's damaging somebody's reputation. In Ephesians 4:29, it says that we should not allow any corrupting, that would mean degrading, humiliating, perverted talk to come out of our mouths, but only what's good for building others up. Our words need to give grace to those who hear us talking. If we're talking maliciously about somebody else, we're not extending grace to the person we're talking to or the person we're talking about. You know, giving grace is a reflection of God's character, isn't it? And you know what the sad thing is? We don't see a lot of that in today's society, do we? And I guess we would have to ask ourselves, how much do we have in our own life? So how do we grow in godliness in this area that we may be weak in? Well, it goes back to the reverent, holy behavior that we should be displaying in our lives. If we desire to obey the word of God, and if we are intentional about how we act and how we think, it's going to make a difference in how we respond to sin. Regarding gossip for me personally, it goes back to, it helps me tremendously that I have a lot of scripture in my mind. And I will tell you that I have Ephesians 4:29 and 30 memorized. And so I will tell you that it pops in my mind when I know that I have sinned and I have done that. You know, everybody, I think you know when you've sinned. You know, you have that like kind of heavy spirit, and sometimes I get like a pit in my stomach. And you know, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we have. And I hear Ephesians 4:29, you know, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up. And I'm like, why did I say that? Like what? You know, I have to ask myself, you know, we have to examine our own motives. You know, after talking too much, you may have walked away from a conversation and been like, okay, what did I say that for? Or, you know, why did I have to say that? What was I trying to achieve by saying that? And unfortunately, it falls into one of those three areas: pride, envy, or a critical spirit. And so, you know, we need to encourage others, not tear them down. We need to extend grace and think the best about them, even if we don't maybe agree with them, or even if we maybe know something about them. It doesn't matter. We don't need to hurt someone else's reputation. It's better sometimes if we don't say anything and just keep our mouths quiet. We do not want to revile or dishonor the word of God. And do you know that verse 429 you have there, but do you know that verse 30 goes on to say that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit? And do you know that is a conviction within me? When I think about how I have sinned against God and I have grieved the Holy Spirit in that scripture, in that passage there, that convicts me. I do not want to sin against my God. And so, you know, when we grieve God, when we sin and we continue to sin, we don't, you know, repent for what we've done. We just continue to justify it in our own mind. And, you know, we refuse to change our old sinful ways. That's wrong. It's sin. We're grieving God. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. And gossip and slander definitely do not reflect the character of God. Grace and conversation that builds others up is a reflection of God's character. So let's go on to the next part of that verse where it says that we should not be slaves to much wine. So, slave. This word in this verse means to be held and controlled against one's will. You might believe that you have the freedom to drink, okay, to drink alcohol. And, you know, the scriptures do not condemn the drinking of alcohol. But I will warn you that any freedom that we believe we have control over can turn around and begin to control us. And that can pertain to any area of our lives, okay? It could be drinking. It could be eating. It could be shopping. It could be money, television, social media, anything like that. Any area that we have freedom in, we need to be very careful that that freedom does not turn around and control us. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved to anything." I will not be enslaved to anything. So yes, we have freedoms. We have freedom to drink. We have freedom to shop. We have freedom to spend money. But this verse is clear in stating that even if the scriptures don't condemn it, it's not necessarily helpful for me. And it could become an area of enslavement and even addiction. I mean, let's just take for an example a credit card. We have freedom in using a credit card, right? We have the freedom to go and put money on that credit card. And it feels good, doesn't it, to use that credit card, okay? Because, you know, you don't have to have the cash. You just swipe your card. And then, oh, well, swipe that card again. And next month you buy more. And then maybe you buy some things off the internet. And you know what happens? That freedom that you had to use that card, now that has turned around and that debt is like a heavy weight on your shoulders. It's then become something that is now controlling you. That is the same thing with drinking. It's the same thing with food. Any one of those areas that we have the freedom to be part of our lives, we have to be very careful because they can turn around and control us. Now, do you understand why there's danger in anything that we can become enslaved to? We go to that thing, whatever area we're talking about, to get peace sometimes, right? Like, you know, going shopping sometimes feels good, doesn't it? It's like an escape, right? It's a relaxation, comfort. Maybe that drink just kind of settles you down after a hard day. It gives you a temporary happiness. So is it necessarily bad? No, not in and of itself. It's not bad. But if it begins to be something that you're drawn to because it feels good, and the danger comes when we allow it to control us, We have to have it. Okay, if that's the danger. It begins to control us instead of us being in control of it. That's how we become enslaved. The enslavement becomes our master and our God. It begins to rule us. So I want you to think about this. Anything that captures our hearts, our minds, and our affections more than God is an idol. And when something takes the place of Jesus Christ in your life, when he is no longer number one in your life, that is idolatry. And Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will not. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved images. God will not give his glory to anybody else. Remember, ladies, we belong to him. He should be first priority, number one in our lives. And so I think we need to be very careful that we do not become enslaved and controlled by something that we enjoy. And you know, in her book here, Nancy DeMoss Waldemuth gives a 30-day challenge. She's big on these 30-day challenges. She has a lot of them for husbands and all these other things that she has, and they're very good because I've heard that, you know, it could take you 30 days to stop a habit and 30 days to start a habit. And she has in here that over the next 30 days, why not intentionally abstain from anything that you think may be controlling you, okay? If you can't say no to it, then ask yourself, who's the master? You or that area of bondage? And if you can't say no to it, then ask yourself, who's the master? You or that area of bondage? Did I just say that? What are you wanting that area of bondage to do in your life? Give you comfort? Help you escape? Relieve maybe some feelings of guilt or maybe loneliness or anxiety? Something that's going to fill that longing desire that you have in your heart? Think about that. Those substitutes for God, they're a quick fix, but they're a temporary comfort. They're temporary escapes. They're only going to last a little while and leave you wanting more and more. God is the only one who can fill those longings that you have in your life. And I'm not going to say it's a quick fix, but it's a life-lasting change. It will last a lifetime. All of us need to be on guard against anything that can enslave us. How can we as women who love God bring him glory and be a witness to the world if we're not living any differently than the world? Verse 7 says we are to be models of good works. Verse 7 in the second chapter of Titus says we are to be a model of good works. And we need to think about that and discard ourselves. So it goes on to say that we are to be, the older women are to teach what is good. This means to be a teacher of good things. Older women are to teach what is good, but how do we know what's good? Well, the second chapter, if we look at that second chapter of Titus, the first verse says that we should teach what accords with sound doctrine. Okay? So sound doctrine is good. It's in this verse, sound means healthy. Healthy. Healthy attitudes and actions that are based on biblical truth. Women need to know the truth so they can be spiritually healthy, and they need to understand the truth so they can be spiritually healthy. Doctrine is teaching instruction about God. Listen to this definition of doctrine. Doctrine is teaching from God about God that directs us to the glory of God. So the one way you will learn sound doctrine is by studying the Word of God. And this needs to begin today. You must be a reader of the Bible and a student of God. Several things are required to happen in order to grow in Christ-likeness and display his character. And you can see that little, I believe you have a little part on your outline there. You add all these things up and it equals maturity. And so, you know, we have a choice. We can choose daily to walk by faith. And when we add that to Bible study, regularly studying the Word, reading the Word, and we add that to our obedience to God, obedience to obeying what the Bible says and what God is teaching us, and we add that to the time, intentional time set apart with God in reading and prayer and study, it equals spiritual maturity. We have to add those things. All those things need to be a part of who we are to become spiritually mature. So, since older women have taught and raised their own children, hopefully in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they now have a responsibility to teach the younger women in the church and encourage them to be wives and mothers. And, you know, the qualities of loving your husband and your children, having self-control, being pure, working in your home, being kind and godly, they align themselves with what God is teaching in His Word. And so here are some questions for you to ponder. Am I growing in my devotion to God? Is my character changing and becoming more godly? What do my children need most from me as they grow up? Think about this. As your children are growing, they are learning from you. And so what are you growing and learning as you grow? What do I want my relationship with God to look like when I'm 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old? What's your vision for your future? You know, okay, I'm 52, going to be 53 in a couple months. When I look back at who I was 30 years ago when I was 22 years old, I am a different person today. And I have to give all the credit and glory to the Lord, because if I did not follow after Christ, I would be a mess today. And then I think, here I am, a middle-aged woman, and I think, in 30 years, I'll be 82. And I think, how much I have grown in 30 years. And wow, where could I be in another 30 years as I walk with the Lord? I have a vision. Like I said before, I want to be a woman full of joy. I want to leave a godly legacy. I want people to remember me for who I was in the Lord. And I think that's what we need to do. You know, you guys are, I'm assuming most of you are in your 30s, maybe some 40s. And, you know, you got to think ahead. You got to think, where do I want to be? What do I want to be like in another 20, 30, 40 years? You know, these are good questions, these questions that I gave you to think about and meditate on. Let them be a reminder to you this month as you go home and your eyes glance at that scripture on your kitchen counter or your windowsill or whatever. I want you to just think about these things. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So, we are to train the younger women. You know, I am so thankful that older women don't have to be perfect, because we will never be perfect in this world. And, you know, women who are a couple seasons ahead of you are growing too. We're just farther along that road. And so, like I said before, the older women in the book of Titus are referring to women who have been Christians longer, raised their children, and married for a longer season. They've experienced life and they've gained wisdom. These women should be intentionally investing in the lives of younger women. You know, through the many years of raising children and building marriages, older women have acquired wisdom, both through the mistakes that we've made and the accomplishments that we've done. A whole season of life takes place in those 20 to 30 years, you know, of raising children and being married. You know, that for better or for worse part that you say on your wedding day, we've experienced that for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. Those things happen in a season of life. You know, the many joys and the blessings you experience together. And, you know, the joys and the hardships and the blessings of raising children. The older women, by this point, should be mature in her faith. This means she's learned how to think biblically, like we were saying before. She doesn't allow her emotions to rule her. We have learned, hopefully, how to forgive, how to live unconditionally and sacrificially towards our family, how not to sweat the small stuff. I have to say, as I'm a grandma, I look at things and they don't bother me at all. Like when I was a mom, these things, they're cute. I laugh at them. I think they're great. Like, you know, you just look at life in a different perspective, a different way. And you know, at this season of life, you have seen the faithfulness of God in your own life. You've experienced it. And you know, she understands sound doctrine. She can discern what is biblical and what is not. Because the older woman has learned over the years that she's able to teach, she is then able to teach through the mistakes that she's made. And, you know, she has been able to see what the Lord has taught her through the peaks and valleys of life. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that the older woman needs to be in this type of a setting. It's a woman who can have one-on-one discipleship conversations and relationships with women. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future." This is a mentoring relationship. And you know, I believe that the best design for mentoring that God gave to us is the mother-daughter relationship. Don't overlook that relationship, ladies. This would include mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationships. You know, how many of you have found once you've had a baby that you can relate to your mom a little bit more now than you could before? How many of you call her now more for advice or counsel than maybe you didn't before? Maybe you understand her better now that you're a mom. You know, you understand what she's about a little bit more. And you know what? She understands your struggles. And, you know, most of the issues that a young wife and a mom experience, they're the same. They may look different, but they're similar. And, you know, your mom's been there. She's done that, and more than likely, she wants to teach you what she did right and help you avoid what she did wrong. And, you know, maybe you're beginning to see your mom in you, maybe in the words that you say or the actions, and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm becoming my mother. But, you know, is that a bad thing? Yes or no? Is that a bad thing or a good thing? You know, we've learned from the examples that our mom taught us when we were growing up. If you're a mom of a daughter, you are teaching her, and she is learning from your example. You are the older woman in her life, and you will teach her all of these qualities, godly qualities, or we should just say how to be a wife, how to be a mother, all these things, whether you are intentional about it or not. She will learn something about those things, but we want our daughters to understand what the Bible teaches, how it directs us and teaches us to be women of God. You know, your daughter, she's going to watch how you love your husband. She's going to watch how you love her and her siblings. She's going to perceive the self-control that you exhibit in your life, or maybe the lack thereof. You know, you can't teach what you don't have. And so if you struggle with self-control, you can't really teach that to somebody if you don't have it yourself. How about purity? Are you going to be able to teach her about purity? What does that look like in your life? Does she see kindness in you as you deal with the things that come your way? How do you handle with difficult people in your life? How do you show kindness to people who are difficult even in your own home? You are modeling and teaching how to care for your home, the duties and responsibilities of cooking, cleaning, all these things your daughter is observing in you, and how are you teaching her? She sees how you respond to your husband when you don't agree with him. Does she see a submissive spirit or a rebellious spirit? Your daughter will see if God really makes a difference in your life. Now, of course, this is the case for both sons and daughters, but in this topic this morning, I'm focusing on the daughters. But of course, it's true for all of our children. You know, God's plan is for you to intentionally teach your daughter. You are the older woman in your daughter's life. I was blessed to have a daughter, and as I watch her today, she's married, she cares for her own home. Like I, you know, and it's funny because she'll do things like I did them. And we even laugh sometimes. Like she'll even say, yeah, Mom, I do this and I do that because she learned it from me. And maybe it's intentional or maybe it wasn't. But, you know, they model after what they are learning as they grow up. And, you know, sometimes I even watch her tendencies and I think, boy, she's a lot like me in a lot of ways. And it's funny. And, you know, I have a very sweet and special relationship with both my daughters, with Amy and Becca. And, you know, we are to the point where, you know, we're friends with each other. And, you know, we can just discuss things and have conversations and bring it back to our faith and our relationship with the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. But, you know, I'm not naive. And I realize there are many young ladies that don't have a mom. And, you know, that they can't call their mom for advice or counsel. I understand that. If your mom is not a Christian, okay, she can teach you so many things about life, but that spiritual aspect is not there. And you know, this is the blessing of being in a church. It's the body of people who do life together. And in the body of the church, there should be mentoring relationships. I was thinking as I was putting this together, and I was thinking probably just some of the older moms will remember Elaine Bucci. Elaine Bucci, she was the mother of Fred Bucci and Kathy Velada. And Elaine Bucci, she was a sweet woman. And she became a Christian older in life. I don't know, maybe close to 60 when she got saved, probably. Upper 50s, 60. And so I just saw how she loved her grandchildren and her grandchildren and her children loved her. She was the sweet woman who just, everybody wanted to have her as their grandma. And I think about her and I think about the impact that she had on my life. She became a Christian when she was a little older, so she didn't have that, you know, maybe the maturity of an older woman would have, but she had a love for the Lord that was so evident in her life. I even still have cards from her that she would write to me. And I just think about her character, and I think about the impact that that older woman had on me. And I just think about that. She was part of our church. She was part of one of those older women in our church that impacted my life. And, you know, some of you may know my story. I think I shared in one of my other teachings that my mom died when I was 18. So I understand. I don't have a mom. I didn't have a mom from the time I was 18 years old. And, you know, I didn't have her to call for advice or counsel. And, you know, I missed her so much when I got married and so much when I had my babies. And, you know, that was the Lord's plan for my life. But the Lord gave me a sister who was 8 years older than me. And she was a Christian. And she was just a few steps ahead of me in life. And she became my mentor. And she became my dearest friend. And so, you know, ladies, we can encourage and we can mentor and be a part of our friends' lives. You know, maybe you have been a Christian a little bit longer than a friend of yours, and she has questions about her faith or struggles in an area of sin. You, who are a few steps ahead in your faith, in your understanding of you know, the Word of God, you can help her, you can teach her, you can come alongside of her and encourage her. You can help her understand what you've learned through your own experiences and through your knowledge of the scriptures and how you apply it to your life. Maybe it's an area of child rearing. You know, you've lived maybe a little bit longer. You have kids that are maybe a little bit older. You've been through that part of mothering that maybe a friend is just entering. Come alongside her, encourage her, help her. That's mentoring. That's true friendship. You know, I've seen that happen even right here at our table at Motherhood Connection. I have seen other moms encouraging moms in the struggle that they have. Building into the lives of other women is so worth it. Think about how much it means to you when someone takes the time to talk to you or help you through a trial. This is God's design for women. Younger women of any age should seek out women who are farther along the road of life to gain biblical wisdom and insight. Remember, all of you are an older woman to someone, and you're a younger woman to someone. So we all have something to give, and we all have something to gain. So ask yourself, who are you learning from? and who are you building into? We must be intentional in our relationships and intentional about who we make relationships with. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're a little bit behind, but I want to take 5 minutes. You guys can get up, run to the bathroom, grab some food, and I'm going to ask Mimi to come up, and we're going to have some conversation together, my sweet friend, and I think you guys are going to enjoy what Mimi's going to share.
If you haven't filled out your registration form, please do that.